Daf Yad Vashem, towards the bottom of Daf Lamed Aleph on the Beis, four lines from the bottom with the words Amar Rav Chelba. Amar Rav Chelba. Rav Chelba said, Chazin alayi l'Rav Huna. I have seen Rav Huna, the Karach lay me echad klapei shema. I saw him rolling up the mezuzah, beginning with the word echad, and rolling it toward the shema. In other words, after the mezuzah is finished, so looking down at the mezuzah, shema is at the right side, echad is at the left side. So he rolled it from the left toward the right. And that is what the Gemara means, the Karach lay me echad klapei shema. Starting with the word echad, the dalid at the end of the echad, that would be the first letter to be rolled, and he would roll with shema. In other words, if you would open the mezuzah, shema would be the first word we would see. In addition, v'yaisa parashayseh stumais. There are two parashayes in the mezuzah. There is v'yahavtan v'hayim shemaya. The space in between the parashayes he left as closed sections. Now, this is somewhat complicated. In a Sefer Torah, we have somewhat of a separation in between parashiyos, but there are different sizes in separations. Some are called psuchos, totally open. Some are called stumos, more or less closed. What exactly a parashah stuma is a very big machlokes hashayna. According to the Rambam, even if you would finish a complete line and then leave an entire empty line and start the new parashah at the beginning of the third line with the empty line in between, this is still called a stuma. Because as far as the Rambam is concerned, the previous parasha ends at the end of a line, and the new parasha begins at the beginning of a line. According to the Rash, this would not be called a stuma, not if you have a whole empty line in between. According to the Rash, stuma means bedafka, where you have one parasha ending at the beginning of one line, and another parasha beginning at the end of that same line. In other words, we finish off Echsavtem HaMezizais Beisecha Yivisharecha, Yivisharecha at the beginning of the line, somewhat of a space, and then V'hayim Shemaya begins at the end of that same line. This is the only stuma, according to the Rash, where you are closed on both sides of the line. Now, it is for that reason that we have somewhat of a difficulty to understand this Gemara. Because what did Rav Huna do? He made sure that his parashiyos were stumais. Stumais, according to the Rash, would have to mean that Yivisharecha ended at the beginning of the line, and V'hayim Shemaya starts on that very same line. Or else it wouldn't be stumais. Now that is somewhat of a problem, because we mentioned at the end of yesterday's shiur that there is a Masaira as to where exactly each word has to be. And there are certain words in a mezuzah that must be at the beginning of a line. The Hayim Shemaya have the first words of the second parasha amongst them. So if in the Hayim Shemaya must be at the beginning of a line, how do you have a parasha stum over here by a mezuzah according to the Rash? Because again, according to the Rash, a parasha stuma is only where you have both parashiyos ending and beginning on the very same line. But if one parasha begins at the beginning of a line, it is not a stuma. Now, what we do lahalacha is that we come with the word of Yisharecha, which is the last word of the first parasha, very close to the end of the line. We do not leave the normal space of nine letters, which usually is the amount left empty in between the parashiyos. So we come with the word of Yisharecha closer than nine ICAs away from the line on top, and we start V'hayim Shemaya on the next line, but not indented, the usual nine ICAs, but much closer to the beginning of the line. Now, some say this would constitute a stuma even according to the opinion of the Rash, because when does the Rash say that it's only a stuma if the end of the parasha and the beginning of the parasha are on the same line? That's if you leave the required space of nine letters in between. However, if you don't have those nine letter space in between, it may still be considered a stuma, even though one parasha begins on the top line and the next parasha begins on the next line. If there isn't enough of a space left on top and enough of an indentation on the next line, it just could possibly constitute a stuma. Now, the Metzius is, that's what we do. We come with the Yisharecha close to the end of the line, and we start the Hayim Shemaya close to the beginning of the line. And it is the opinion of the Tav that this satisfies the Rash's sheet as explained. Other Rechayim argue that this would not satisfy stuma according to the Rash. And the reason we do it is either we pass on like the Rambam, that a stuma doesn't mean you have to have the end of the parasha and the beginning of the parasha on the same line, or we paskin, as the Rash himself suggests, like a Yishalmi, contrary to this Gemara, that our mezuzahs are simply not stuma. It's considered tzucha. So Akupanim, getting back to Pashat Pshad in the Gemara, Rav Chelba Yisur, Rav Huna do two things, roll the mezuzah from Echad to Shema, and in addition, the space he allowed between the two Pashiyos was the space of Stuma, of what we consider in the Torah, closed Pashiyos. Meisa Tech Gemara Akasha, Amad Rav Shimon ben Alava. Rav Shimon ben Alava said that Rav Meir Hayakoysva al Duch Sustas, Rav Meir used to write his mezuzah on Duch Sustas. The skin of an animal, which is what we write, and this is this, if we tie it in tefillin on, is sometimes divided into two. One side is the side with the hair on it, which is the exterior, and the inside, which is more or less still connected to the flesh. Now, sometimes it's not divided, sometimes it is divided. When it is divided, then the outside chelig, the part that is with the hair, in other words, the exterior, that's called klaf. Klaf means peeled, that's what was peeled off. And the inside part, the other half, is called the chsustas. And we'll soon see in the Gemara B'yezah Hashem that a mezuzah is supposed to be written on the inside part, the chsustas half. So the Shimon ben Alava tells us that Meir wrote his mezuzah on the chsustas. And furthermore, he wrote it kimin daf meaning in the form of a column, just like in a Sefer Torah, instead of like we have with tefillin. Very wide parshiyos with long lines. It was more narrow and a even column. In addition, as we go now to the top of Lamed Beis, the third thing the Meir did, again, the first two were that he wrote it on the chsustos, the inside part of the pyramid. He wrote it kimin daf, like our Sefer Torahs, not long and wide, but rather short and narrow. And the yoser revach milmala, the revach milmata. He made sure to leave a space above and a space below. And finally, concludes the Shimon ben Alava, he saw Rav Meir, this is of course what we are looking for, the Isa Pashayse Suchais, he left the space in between the Pashayis, what we would consider open spaces. Amarti Lo, so I said to him, continues the Shimon ben Alava, I said to Rav Meir, Rabbi, Mata, what is the reason that you make the Pashayis Suchais? Now what was bothering him was that in the Torah, Bisharecha and Zohayim Shemaya, don't have open spaces. If you look in a Torah, you will see the Hayim Shemaya starts with a closed space in between. So why should it be any different on a mezuzah? Amali, so he told me, Hayol the Ein Smuchais Min HaTorah. The fact is, these two Pashiyos are not next to each other in the Torah. In other words, your argument is correct. If you look technically in a Sefer Torah, there is no open space before the Vahayim Shemaya, but the fact is we are putting two Pashiyos in the mezuzah over here, the Ahavta and the Vahayim Shemaya, which are in separate sedras. One is in the Yavchanan, the other is in Akiv. So the fact is that these two Pashiyos independently are not together in the Torah, they're in different sedras. We lay them on separate Shabbosos. Therefore, I make the space in the mezuzah as the space of Pashiyos Psuchais and not Stumais. So this is obviously in contrast to what we said before, B'Shem Levhona, that the Pashiyos should be Stumais. The Yamad of Chananel Lama Rav, Rav Chananel said, in the name of Rav, the Halacha Kereb Shimon ben Elazar. In regard to these things mentioned over here, the Halacha is like Rav Shimon ben Elazar. So, my Lava Psuchais, presumably the Halacha is like all the things that he just said, including the fact that the space in between the Pashiyos should be Psuchais. And for the Gemara Lai, no. When the Rav says the Allah is like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, he doesn't mean in regard to all the things that he just said. Rather, Arevach, on that one halacha that he mentioned about leaving space on top and on bottom. Now that we know that this is so important, that indeed we have to leave space and not to start writing a mezuzah at the very top, so the Kamadevach, the Gemara, wants to know the shear, how much space has to be left on top. And for the Gemara, Amar of Nashia Bar Yaakov, the Amula, others say Amar of Shmuel Bar Yaakov, Kamali Atfa de Sifri. Rashi explains that the siphon had a kind of a clasp, a piece of wood with a slit in it, and they used to stick the pyramid in there to clasp it so that it doesn't roll over as they are riding. And whatever that space is in that slit, that is the amount that you have to leave on top and on bottom of the mezuzah. The Pais can say that this is somewhat equivalent to half a thumb. They also explain the reason that this space is necessary on top is just in case he has a lamed on top, you have to have enough room to come up with the lamed. If he starts with the top of the shin of Shema all the way on top, and then he comes to a lamed, so the top of the lamed is going to be written on the table. So not only does he have to get the whole lamed on the pyramid, there also has to be somewhat of a space on top of the lamed. Because let's remember, ICAs have to be mukav gavil. You have to have pyramid around and around, at least somewhat. And by that same token, he needs the space underneath, just in case he has a long nun over there. There are paiskim that say, the Bach says, that the shear over here is not so that you should be able to fit in the lamed. Rather, you have to have this shear on top of the space that it takes to write a lamed. In other words, if he has a lamed on the top line, from wherever he would finish writing the top of the lamed, from that point and on to the top of the pyramid, you have to have this shear of half thumb. That's the opinion of the Bach and the Taz. Mishnah Berurah says, l'chatchila, it should be that way, but b'diavad, it is kosher, even without this amount of a space on top of the lamed. Now, the Gemara just discusses the space on top and on bottom. And the Gemara really doesn't tell us how much of a space, or if any space, has to be left on the sides. Now, it's mashma from Tosis over here that you have to have enough space at the beginning to cover the whole scroll. In other words, we roll them as though from left to right. When you come to the word Shema, there has to be enough space on the right-hand side of the pyramid up until the word Shema to be able to be wrapped around the whole scroll. The Sheet of Megadassus has somewhat of a tain on that, because he says that we put the Shem Shakai, the Shem of Shin, the Dalet, and the Yod, as explained previously, on the outside of the mezuzah. And if you're going to have so much empty pyramid, which we have basically in regard to Megillas and Sifrei Torah, if you're going to have that much with the mezuzah coming all around the scroll, you're not going to be able to see the Shem Shakai, which is supposed to be seen on the outside of the mezuzah. So he suggests, perhaps, to make a little window for the same shakai, if indeed this amount of space would be necessary. Now, the Tisri Shuva brings down from the Shvus Yaakov that this is precisely the reason nowadays we don't leave, as Taisa suggests, the amount of empty pyramid on the right side to be able to wrap around the whole scroll, because it is somewhat of a gnai to have a window to be able to see the Shem Shakai, in other words, to cut out an opening for the Shem Shakai. So once again, Rav Huna said that the Pasha is Stuma. Rav Shimon Elazar quoted a whole series of halachis from the Meir, one of them to make the Pasha Psucha, and Rav says the halacha is like Rav Shimon Elazar. Now Gemara answers that by saying the halacha is like Rav Shimon Elazar only in regard to one of the other things that he said, the space that has to be left on top and on bottom, but not in regard to his Pasha Yisrael Psuchas, because we paskin that the space in between the parshiyos of the mezuzah should be the space of stuma. Amalei Abaye l'Rav Yosef. So Abaye said to Rav Yosef, V'at loy tizbara, and your opinion is not, d'chi yomer Rav, that when Rav said the halach is like Rav Shimon ben Elazar arevach, he is strictly referring to the space, and he is not referring to what Rav Shimon ben Elazar said that the parshiyos should be psuchas. V'harav islay min hagar. Rav always ruled in accordance to what the accepted custom is, as we'll soon see. So much so, does Rav rule according to the custom that even Eliyahu HaNavi wouldn't change it, as the Gemara is going to explain now. And v'ho'idna noig alma b'stumais. We see now that the minhag ha'olam is, the accepted custom is, to allow the space of stumais, not psucha. So Rav would never pass him like a mandiyama, which is contrary to the minhag. Now, what is the base of this to say Rav always rules according to the custom? The Amar Rav, because Rav said, Amar Rav Kahan Amar Rav, in the name of Rav Kahan, in the name of Rav. Im Yavoi Eliyahu, if Eliyahu Hanavi would come, the Yaimon, he would say, Chayotzen Ben Minal, that we do Chalitza with a shoe, Shainan Levi would listen to him. Now, we all know, the Yavim puts a shoe on, and his sister-in-law takes off that shoe. This is all in the Chalitza process. On the other hand, if Eliyahu HaNavi would come and he would say, Ein Chalitzin this sandal, that Chalitza should not be made with a sandal, Ein Shoyim Alei, we will not listen to him. Why? Shekfar Nahaguhu on the sandal, because the Minig Ha'ilam is, the accepted custom is, to use the sandal for Chalitza. Now, this is how Rabba, the Shaman of Kahana, had the member of Rav, that Rav is of the opinion that a custom has such significance that we would not even trust Eliyahu HaNavi to change it. There is somewhat of a different version from the Rabbi Yosef, from Rabbi Kahana Marat. He says, Im Yavi Eliyahu, if Eliyahu HaNavi would come, the Yoimer, and he would say, Ein Chayotzen Beminel, we should not do Chalitza with a shoe, Shayman Lai, then we would listen to him. Contrary to the other version, that Eliyahu HaNavi comes and says, we should do Chalitza with a shoe, we listen to him. But in both cases, we listen to Eliyahu Navi about the shul, if he says to use it or if he says not to use it. If, however, he would come, and this is the same as we had before, and he would say, Ein chelzen besandal, not to do chalitza with a sandal, Ein shaynin loy, we will not listen to Eliyahu, reason being shekfar nahaguhu on besandal, because the minig ha'olam is bedafka to use the sandal. The Amrina, now we say, my benayu, saif kol saif, what is the nafka mina lahalacha between the two versions? And for the Gemara, mina lechat chilek benayu, the nafka mina is, do we make chalitza today lechat chila with a shoe? According to the first version, that if Eliyahu Navi would come and say we should do with a chalitza with a shoe, then listen to him. Now, the implication of that is, l'chatchila, we don't do chalitza with shoes. However, if Eliyahu Navi would come and say to do it, we would accept it. In other words, b'di'aved, a shoe is good, but you're supposed to use the sandal. The implication of the other version, however, is different, because here we're saying that if Eliyahu Navi would come and say, don't do chalitza with a shoe, then listen to him. So it's mashma. Until Eliyahu Navi comes and says, don't do chalitza with a shoe, seemingly there is no reason that we should not use a shoe. But Akupanim, the one thing that both agree on is that being the accepted custom is to use a sandal, even if Eliyahu himself would come and say, don't use a sandal, we will not accept it. So we see how Rav always goes with the minig. And if the minig is to leave the space of stuma between parshiyos, it's impossible to say that the Rav paskens like Rav Shimon ben Elazar in regard to the parshiyos or psuchos, which would be contrary to the minig. So indeed, concludes the Gemara, Elav Shemamina, so it said, that when we say over here that the halacha is like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, however, Rav was not referring to all the things that Rav Shimon ben Elazar said, rather to the one halacha that you should leave space on top and on bottom. Indeed, that is the halacha. We have to leave that space. Indeed, it is a good rai. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak has a whole different teretz. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, when Rav Huna allowed only the space of stuma in between the parshiyos, that means mitzvah. The mitzvah is l'chatchila to make it only with the space of a parsha stuma in between the parshiyos. However, the iav dinu psuchais, if l'maisa somebody made a mezuzah allowing the space of psuchais in between, shakri dami, then it's still kosher. And in Eilid, now we're saying that when the Rav says the halacha is like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, it is even in regard to what Rav Shimon ben Elazar says about parshiyos psuchais. And it's not a contradiction with Rav Huna making his mezuzah stumais, because he might psuchais to come at Rav Shimon ben Elazar. What is this psuchais that Rav Shimon ben Elazar is alluding to? He means af psuchais. In other words, lechatchila bezadai, the space that should be left should be the space of a pasha stuma. But you should know, worse comes to worse, if we have a pasha psucha, the mezuzah is still kosher. So b'di'ezid that it's kosher, that doesn't contradict Rav Huna. Now once again, let us just remind ourselves that what psucha is and what stuma is really telling in a big machlokes shinim, and as mentioned previously, it is the opinion of the Taz that the way we should have our mezuzah is with ivisharecha, coming within 9 letters to the end of one line, the hayim shemaya starting indented less than 9 letters at the beginning of the next line, and it is his opinion that that is considered stuma even according to the Rash. Others incidentally disagree with the Taz. They say there is no such a thing as a space less than 9 letters. If you allow a space less than 9 letters, it isn't a kosher mezuzah altogether. These places can say you have no choice but to allow 9 letters after Yivisharecha empty, start the next line, 9 letters indented, and then V'hoye Im Shemaya, and indeed it would not be stuma according to the Rash. It would strictly be stuma according to the Rambam, who says that unless you have a space at the end of one line, a complete line, and a space at the beginning of a third line, it's always stuma. But according to the Rush, you can't have stuma. The Taz, however, in defense of the Rush, again maintains that you could do this, and the Rush only says stuma is strictly with one line if you have a space of 9 letters in between, but if you want to do it with less than a space of 9 letters at the end of line 1, after Yivisharecha, and less than a space of 9 letters indented before you start V'hayim Shemaya on the next line, it would be considered stuma according to the Rash, and we would be out to all shitas writing in the Zuzah this way. The Mishnah Berurah says, Nahar Nahar Tashtei, and everyone should do according to their custom. Zakti Yomar Leinu Nesayle, once again, getting back to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, he just told us that when Rav Shimon Ben Elazar says, you can write a mezuzah pashrei seor psuchos, that is b'di'evid, and indeed b'di'evid, it is kosher. But Rav Shimon Ben Elazar himself would say that l'chatchila, the space in between the pashreis, should be the space of stuma. Proof to this. We learn kayoitzaboy. Now kayoitzaboy means in a similar vein. The Gemara does not quote the beginning of the Braisa. In the beginning of the Braisa, we learned that one should not turn tefillin shel reish into tefillin shel yad. You can't take the ritzuais of the tefillin shel reish and turn it into the ritzuais of the tefillin shel yad. However, the reverse is permissible. Reason being, the klali is milin b'kodesh v'ein meridin. You can convert things to a higher level of kedusha, not to a lesser level of kedusha. And because shel reish is a higher level of kedusha, you can only turn shel yad into shel reish, but not the other way. Now, this is what the Gemara means, that the Baraisa at this point says kayotzeboy in a similar vein. If you have a sefer Torah shabalu, a sefer Torah that got worn out, or the tefillin shabalu, tefillin that were worn out, ein oisin mihen mezuzah. You can't take out the pashyos of Shema and convert that into a mezuzah. L'fi she'ein meridin mekedusha chamura lekedusha kala. You can't bring something down from a greater level of kedusha. And tefillin has a greater level of kedusha because it has four pashyos to start with, to make kedusha kala, which is the mezuzah. Now, before we go further, let's understand something. How is it possible to turn a sefer Torah into a mezuzah? The two pashyos of the Yahavta and the Hayim Shemaya are not next to each other in the Torah, as mentioned previously. One is in Pashas V'Yishchanan, the other in Pashas Eikev. So the Rishonim say that we cut out the respective pashyos and sew them together. Now that creates a problem with the Yishalmi that is makbid on a mezuzah being made out of one piece of parmit, not two pieces sewn together. So these Rishonim want to say that the Yishalmi just passes where they weren't sewn together, but if you sew it together, then it is considered one. The point is, however, the reason this cannot be done, being that a Sefer Torah has a greater level of Kedusha, and you can only convert things into a higher level of Kedusha, not into a lesser level of Kedusha. So the Gemara points out, it seems from the Braisa, that the only problem with changing a Sefer Torah into a mezuzah is the fact that you're going down to a lesser level of Kedusha. But theoretically speaking, ha-mayridin, if it was possible to do so, to come down to a lesser level of Kedusha, aysen, then it would be permissible to turn a Sefer Torah into a mezuzah. Affecting what am I? Ha-chastumais v'yachab-tsuchais. In a Sefer Torah, if you look at the words Bisharech at the end of the first Pasha and the beginning of the next Pasha, the space is the space of Stuma. By the Yayim Shemaya right before that, it is also Stuma. Memelu, let's try to picture this as follows. If I'm going to take a razor and cut out the Pasha via Hafta in the Sefer Torah, I'll always have a Yisharecha at the beginning of a line. Because in the Sefer Torah, the Yisharecha is at the beginning of the line, then you have a space of nine letters, and the beginning of the next Pasha. That's the common Stuma. So I have a Yisharecha at the beginning of a line. Now I'm going to cut out the Hayim Shemaya. The Hayim Shemaya is also always the words at the end of a line, with the space of nine letters in between, and before that, the end of the previous Pasha. So any way I want to put this puzzle together, I'm going to have either Shadecha at the beginning of the line and V'hayim Shemaya at the end of the line. So it's going to be a Stuma. So if we have a Bereis over here that says the only reason you can't turn a Sefer Torah into a mezuzah is because Ma'alim B'Kodesh V'Loi Meridim, but if not for that problem you could, obviously we must be saying that it's all right to have mezuzahs that are stumais. Memela, when Rav Shimon Ben Elazar talks about a mezuzah with pashrei seor psuchos, he must mean that a mezuzah would be kosher if it's pashrei seor psuchos. But stumais vada is good as well. However, the Gemara says no, not necessarily. There is no rai over here. Because Dilma lehashlem, maybe when the Braisa says over here that we're cutting out the Shema from a Sefer Torah and we want to use it as a mezuzah, this does not mean the entire Pasha of Shema or the entire Pasha of Hayim Shemaya. It means a single line. In other words, we're not missing an entire mezuzah. We're missing one line in a mezuzah. So I want to take that one line from a Sefer Torah and paste it in. Now, a mezuzah has to be written kesidron, according to the order. So wherever I'm holding, instead of writing the next line, I want to cut out one line from a Sefer Torah. put that in, and then continue on. Now, if that's the case, the mezuzah could very well be psuchas. And they don't run into any problems cutting out of the Sefer Torah, because I'm just cutting out one whole line, not the whole parasha, where be hechrach. I'm going to have either shadachah at the beginning of a line and v'hayim shemaya at the end of a line, thus making it stumais. I'm just cutting out one line and putting it in, and this mezuzah could very well be psuchas. Tosfos learns the Gemara's Torah, it's a little bit different. Tosfos says we're not cutting out one line over here, we're cutting out, as originally understood, the entire parasha. But we can still have a hechatimsa of a mezuzah psucha. How? Suppose in the Sefer Torah, the Sefer finished the word of Yisharecha at the end of a column. There always is an empty line after the last line of the column. So I can cut out the Shema and start writing the Hayim Shemaya underneath. And I can start the Hayim Shemaya wherever I want to start the Hayim Shemaya. I can make it with a space of Psucha or a space of Stuma. For that matter, suffices. You can have perhaps the Sefer Torah with the Hayim Shemaya starting at the top of the column, and there happens to be a lot of empty pyramid on top of the column. The Sefer left a lot of space between the top of the pyramid, the top of the page, until where he started writing. So on top of the Hayim Shemaya, I can fit in my Shema and the Ahavta and finish wherever I want, again, making it as I please, Chusais or Stumais. Now, incidentally, the Achrayim bring a raya from this Tosfos, that although we have a halach that a mezuzah has to be written kisidron, in other words, if you skip the word, you can't put it in afterwards. However, you can perhaps put in a complete parasha, if you wrote one parasha before the other parasha. It is the Taz that wants to bring this raya from Tosfos. The Shach disagrees, however, because the Shach says that the Tosfos is in the wrong place of the Gemara's dialogue. This dialogue over here is to try to answer the Shita that the mezuzah is psuchais, being that we paskin that the mezuzah is stumais. So Menela, what Tosfos does to explain this Gemara does not necessarily mean that Tosfos feels the halach is that way. So once again, the Gemara wants to answer that it's possible to say a mezuzah is psucha. How then would the Barais over here say that theoretically you could convert a Sefer Torah into a mezuzah if not for the Malon B'Kodesh problem? If in a Sefer Torah, B'Shirach is always at the beginning of the line, and V'Hayim Shemay is always at the end of a line, so if you're going to paste this together, you're always going to have a stuma situation in the mezuzah. The Teretz is Dilma L'Hashlan, and Tosfos explains the Teretz, that if you have a V'Shirach at the end of a column in a Sefer Torah, and perhaps there is enough space on the pyramid left over to put in V'Hayim Shemaya, or you have the parasha of V'Hayim Shemaya starting at the top of a column, so you have enough space, the cipher left enough empty pyramid on top to put in the parasha via Hafta. And the Mela, the Gemara wants to say, it's shayach to take something out of a Sefer Torah, and I still have a mezuzah that is sucha. There is no doubt from here that the mezuzah can be stumais. The Taz says, because Tosfos suggests that you can have a Hayim Shemaya on top and add afterwards the Yahafta, so although there is a halacha that a mezuzah has to be written in order, that is, if you skip a letter or skip a word, you can't put it in afterwards, but an entire pasha can be put in. The pashiyas don't have to be written in order. The Shach disagrees, and he says, being that this Tosfos explains an opinion in the Gemara which is not halacha, memela, you can't bring a raya from this Tosfos that indeed Kisidron does not apply to Pashiyas. Now the Gemara leaves over the idea of Pusis or Stumais, and we go into a different problem with this Beraisa. The Beraisa said that you can't convert Tefillin into Mezuzais, because it's a lesser Madreg of Kiddusha. Hamirid Noisin. Now that means, theoretically, if Malon B'Kodesh was not a problem, if you could bring something down in Kiddusha, then there would be nothing stopping us from turning Tefillin into a Mezuzah. Frek the Gemara, how could that be? The Atanya, we learned in a Braisa that the Tefillin and the Mezuzah are written on different kinds of skins. Frek the Gemara, the Atanya, we learned in a Braisa that the Mezuzah and the Tefillin are written on different kinds of skins. Halach l'maisha nesinei, we learned that it is halach l'maisha nesinei, the Tefillin, our klaf. Tefillin is written on the kind of skin called klaf. U'mezuzah al d'chsusas, and Mezuzah is written on the type of pyramid called d'chsusas. The skin, after it comes off the animal, is very thick. Sometimes the entire skin is used, processed, coated. That is called gevil. When we see the lotion of gevil, that means an entire skin that was processed and not divided. Sometimes the skin is taken and divided into half. if this is done, then we have now two new names. The exterior part, in other words, the part that had the hair on it, the outside part, the skin that we would see on the animal, this is called klaf. The interior part, after it was divided, the part that is against the flesh, not against the hair, that is called dechustus. Tefillin has to be written on klaf, which is the exterior part of the skin after it's divided. Mezuzah on dechustus, which is the interior part of the skin. So again, the Braisa says, Alach l'maisha m'sinai, tefillin ala klaf. Tefillin has to be written on klaf, which is the part of the skin that is to the outside. Or mezuzah al dechustus, and mezuzah has to be written on the part of the skin after it was divided, that is, to the inside. Furthermore, there is another halach. Klaf, when you write on the klaf, it has to be b'makim basar. And dechustus, when you write on dechustus, it's b'makim seyer. Now let's understand as follows. We have here the thick skin that we divided. Let's imagine that on the right we have the klaf, which is the exterior part of the skin, and on the left we have the dechustus, which is the interior part of the skin. So let's take the klaf. One side is hairy, the other side, which is the side toward the flesh, that is smooth. And that's the part we're supposed to write on. Klaf, when we take the klaf, once again, which is the outside part, the mokim basar. You can't write on the hairy side, but you have to write on the other side. Dechustus. Now let's go to the pyramid we have laying on the left, the interior pyramid after the division. Here, you bedafka aren't supposed to write on the inside, which is toward the flesh, but the mokim seyer. You have to write on the outside part of the dechustus, the side that was at one point joined with the klaf, which is the side toward the hair of the animal. It's really quite simple. You just have to remember that after dividing the skin, imagine we divided the skin and opened it up like a book. On both sides, you only use the inside part. As far as the klaf is concerned, you use the side opposite the hair, the side toward the flesh, which was the side joined to the dechustus. And as far as the dechustus is concerned, you also use the inside part, not the part with the flesh of the animal connected to it, but the part that was joined to the klaf, which is toward the hair of the animal. Whatever the case may be, the point is, tefillin is written on one kind of pyramid, and the mezuzah on the other kind. So how could this Braisa say that the only reason you can convert one to another, you can't convert tefillin to mezuzah, is because of Malon B'Kodesh? Besides for that, it's written on different kinds of skins. And for the Gemara, the mitzvah, this Halacha L'maaseh m'Sinai is only a recommendation. However, b'di'evad, it is kosher even if a mezuzah is written on klaf, or if tefillin is written on dechustus. The Halacha L'maaseh m'Sinai is not just a recommendation, it is a requirement. Somebody changes and writes mezuzahs or tefillin respectively on the wrong side of the skin, it is possible. And for the Gemara, no, b'tefillin. There's a psul one way, but not the other way. If you take tefillin and you write it on dechustus, which is supposed to be meant for a mezuzah, it's like a possible. However, if you take mezuzah, which is supposed to be written on dechustus, and you write it on the klaf, then that's okay. Now maybe we can still understand how we would take tefillin and turn it into a mezuzah, because a mezuzah could be klaf. And it does not contradict the halacha that sheena possible, because sheena is only if you would write tefillin on dechustus, not a mezuzah on klaf. Frek the Gemara, that too would be very convenient, but that's just not the case. The Yatanya we learned in the Braisa, Shina Bein Bezeh U Bein Bezeh Apostle. It doesn't make a difference how we change it. But the Halacha L'maaseh m'Sinai is very specific on both sides of the coin. Tefillin has to bedafka be on klaf, mezuzah has to bedafka be on dechustus, and therefore we are still left with the problem, how would it be possible to turn tefillin into a mezuzah even without the Malon B'Kodesh problem? They're written on different kinds of pyramids. And for the Gemara, no. We will still maintain that it is perfectly all right to write a mezuzah on klaf, which is the pyramid designated for tefillin. It says over here, bein bezeh u bein bezeh possible. Doesn't that mean that either way it's possible? Zok the Gemara, idi the idi betfillin. Bein bezeh u bein bezeh means within tefillin. It doesn't make a difference how you change it to tefillin is possible. How can you interpret an idi the idi two cases by tefillin? Because let's get back to what we said before. Let's remember the mashal of splitting open the skin as we would open up a book. the outside, the front cover of the book is the class, and the back cover of the book is the Dechsostis. In both cases, you have to write on the interior, on the pages of the book, not the cover of the book. The interior of the class is the right-hand side of the book, and the interior of the Dechsostis is the left-hand side of the book. The two parts that were once joined together. Now, in regard to tefillin, you bedafka have to write it on the right-hand side of the book, which is the inside part of the class. And if you change it in any way, it's possible. And there are two possible ways of changing it. Number one, says the Gemara, v'hadikas finiyu a klaf b'makamsa. Suppose he doesn't write on the right page of the book, but he writes on the front cover, on the other side of the klaf, on the klaf with the here. That's possible. And by that same token, as we turn out to Amud Beis, the wrong side of the klaf, meaning the front cover of the klaf, is not the only psal. If he writes ad dechsostis, on the dechsostis, regardless of where on the dechsostis, anywhere on the left-hand side, would be possible. Even the makin basar. Makin basar really means the back cover. What the Gemara means to say over here, this is how the Rashi explains it, that if the place to write the tefillin on the klaf is the makin basar, toward the basar, which is the pages of the right-hand side of the book. So I would think maybe that if you have the makin basar under the chsostis, which would be the back cover of the book, it should also be kosher, because the makin basar maybe for some reason is kosher. So the Gemara is saying, not only are tefillin possible if you write it on the front cover, but anywhere under the chsostis is possible. Even the makin basar under the chsostis is possible. Now, the makin sa under the chsostis is possible as well. So ultimately, what we have over here, and if we can understand this, that's basically all we need for the Gemara. Tefillin are possible, bein bezeh, bein bezeh. What does bein bezeh, bein bezeh mean? They're possible on the wrong side of the klaf, which is the front cover of the book. The makim sa'ar instead of the inside. And they're possible under the chsostis, the makim sa'ar and the makim basar, on both sides of the chsostis. And that's what the b'raisa means, shina bezeh, bezeh, possible. But again, as far as mezuzah is concerned, there are no restrictions at all. Even if you write the mezuzah on the wrong side of the pyramid, on the wrong side of the book, meaning the klaf, the outside part, it's kosher. And that's why, if not for the problem of Malon B'Kodesh V'Lo Meridin, it would be possible to convert tefillin into mezuzah. The Eva is saying to you, the Gemara, if you wish, I can answer you, and this is somewhat of an easier text. That Shina, Bezel, Bezel, that changing either mezuzahs to tefillin or tefillin to mezuzahs as far as the respective skins are concerned, Tanai is a Mechlekes Tanai. In other words, the Braisa that says the problem with converting tefillin into mezuzahs is strictly Malon B'Kodesh V'Lo Meridin, that Braisa is of the opinion that there was nothing wrong with writing mezuzahs on klaf, which is the pyramid for tefillin. And this opinion that Shina Bezel Bezel, that if you change either mezuzahs to tefillin or tefillin to mezuzahs, that it's possible, this is a different opinion altogether. The Tanya, for we learned in the Braisa, Shina Bezel Bezel, possible. There is one opinion that klaf is exclusively for tefillin, the chsustis exclusively for mezuzah, any change baffles both. And that is the opinion over here that Shina Bezel Bezel is possible. On the other hand, there is another opinion, and the gears over here, as it appears in the Bach, Rev Achoy, Rev Chanina, V'yam, you'll others say, Tzalach HaMishmei, Rev Akiva, Bar, Rev Chanina, Amar, they say, kosher, that it is kosher. And this would be the opinion of our Baraisa that says the only problem with converting tefillin into mezuzah, you see, is Malon B'Kodesh V'Lo Meridin, but if not for that, the pyramids of the respective kinds of skins would not be an ikos. Now we have a different problem. We are no longer dealing with the pyramid, but the Gemara is bothered by something else. We're saying over here that the reason you cannot convert tefillin into mezuzah is because Malin B'Kodesh is a Lameridin. Hameridin, but if theoretically you could bring something down to a lesser Madrega of Kedusha, Eisen, then it would be all right to turn tefillin into mezuzah. Frek the Gemara, the Habayi Shirtut. There is a halacha by mezuzah that you have to scratch out with the razor ruled lines beforehand. Now, if that is the case, tefillin doesn't need shirtut, and mezuzah does, so how could you change one to another? How do we know mezuzah has to have shirtut? The Amarav Minayumi Bar Chilkia, Amarav Chomer Bar Giyura, Amarav in the name of Rav, Kol Mezuzah She'ena Mishur Tetef, any mezuzah that does not have the ruled lines, Psula. But Rav Binyamin Bar Chilkia d'dayam, Rav Binyamin Bar Chilkia, based on his own opinion, said that shirtut shel mezuzah, the concept of shirtut, the ruled lines by a mezuzah, is halacha l'maisha m'sinai. Now the implication from Rashi is that a Sefer Torah does need shirtut, because when Rashi explains this kasha, Rashi says, how could the Braisa possibly allow tefillin to be converted into mezuzahs? And the Braisa is saying theoretically that could be done if not for the Malon B'Kodesh problem. Tefillin does not need shirtut, and mezuzah does. There is no kasha, however, about a Sefer Torah, so it's mashma from Rashi that a Sefer Torah does need shirtut. Tosfos asks a series of kashas in Rashi. Tosfos wants to show that a Sefer Torah does not need shirtut as well. And the Mela Tosfos learns the kash and the Braisa is both how do you allow tefillin or Sefer Torah to be converted into mezuzahs. How can you say the only problem is Malon B'Kodesh V'lo Meridin? The latter two don't need shirtut and mezuzahs do. In the Meskan, however, Tosfos, quoting the Bnei Tam, says they say the Torah does need shirtut, mitzad zeh kelev yaveu, so it should look nicer. And the Mela, the real kash is how the Braisa allows tefillin to be converted, being that tefillin don't have shirtut at all. In any event, the Gemara says, Tanayi, it's a machlokes Tanayim. If or if not mezuzah needs shirtut, apparently our Braisa is of the opinion mezuzah does not need shirtut. That is why the only problem with converting Sefer Torah and tefillin into mezuzahs are Malon B'Kodesh V'lo Meridin. Now, where do we see that indeed this is a machlokes Tanayim, if mezuzah needs shirtut or not? Zok the Gemara, the Tanya we learned in a Braisa. The Tanya we learned in a Braisa. Rabbi Yirmiyahu says, Mishum Rabbeinu, that tefillin or mezuzahs nechtaves shaloi min aksav. Tefillin and mezuzah may be written from memory. The cipher does not need a ksav in front of him that he is copying. In addition, the ein tzrichais shirtut. It is the opinion of Rabbi Yirmiyahu Mishum Rabbeinu that both tefillin and the mezuzahs don't need shirtut, don't need the ruled lines. So we see there is a machlokes about it, and in the middle of the Braises all take up their respective shittas. Now, the Hilchos of the Halacha is, says the Gemara, Tefillin loy bayi shirtut, Tefillin don't need shirtut, or mezuzah bayi shirtut, and mezuzah must have shirtut. Rabbi Akiva Eger says not only does it have to have shirtut, but there has to be a shirtut l'shem mitzvahs mezuzah. It's a required aspect in the structure of the mezuzah. The Nachos Moshim, Masechtas Gittin, suggests that if that would be the case, it's possible the shirtut that is done for a Sefer Torah, which is done strictly for Zekei Levi Anveyu to make sure the lines are straight, would not help for the shirtut of mezuzah, because the shirtut of mezuzah, according to the Akiva Eger, have to be done l'shem mitzvah shirtut for mezuzah. In any event, that is the halacha. Tefillin loy bayi shirtut, mezuzah has to have shirtut. The idi continues the halacha over here, nechtaves shaloi min haksav. Both tefillin and mezuzahs can be written by memory. My timer, what is the reason? Because nigris kersina, we aren't chayshish that the cipher is going to make a mistake. Everybody is very ruggle, very used to the l'shaynais. It is on our hearts, on our lips, of the pashyais of Shema and the pashyais that are in the tefillin. And the male of the cipher can write it by memory, contrary to a Sefer Torah where he must follow a script. Now we're going to see more halachas that Rav Chelvoy teaches us based on what he saw Rav Huna doing. The boy, Lameisa Vaporia, that's the gears over here on the side, when Rav Huna wanted to sit down on a bed, the Sefer Torah Alel that happened to have a Sefer Torah on it. So before he did that, the Kof Lekada Ara, he took a kad, he took a jug and put it down on the ground, turning it over, and the Anachala Sefer Torah, and he put the Sefer Torah on top of the jug, and only then Vahada Yosef Bemita would he sit down on the bed. We have to understand that in those days the people used to learn from Sefer Torah. To us it sounds somewhat strange that a Sefer Torah should just be laying on a bed. Rashi explains, the Sefer Torah was at the head of the bed, and a bed, again, is not a bed as we know a bed. The bed was sort of their couch that they used to sit on. So even though the Sefer Torah was at the head of the bed, and he wanted to sit down all the way at the foot of the bed, he would first place the Sefer Torah on a jug. Now, the reason for this was because Ksavar Rav Hun is of the opinion that also Leishevel Gabi Mita, one may not sit on a bed, Shes Sefer Torah Munachalel, that happens to have a Sefer Torah laying on it. However, continues the Gemara, who pleaded the Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, this is in dispute with what the Rabbi Bar Bar Chana said. The Amid Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, Amid Rav Yochanan, the Rabbi Bar Bar Chana said in the name of Rav Yochanan, Mutar Leishevel Gabi Mita, Shes Sefer Torah Munachalel. It is permissible for someone to sit on a bed that has a Sefer Torah on it. Literally this means if somebody would come and whisper in your ear that the contrary is true, because Maisa Bedabalaza, there was a story about Abalaza Shaya Yoshev Alamita, who was sitting on a bed, Viniska, and he reminded himself Shah Sefer Torah Munachalev, that a Sefer Torah is on this bed as well. So the Nishmat, immediately he went off the bed, he slipped off, the Yashav Agarikaka sat down on the ground, and he was extremely troubled by this. He was in tremendous tzar that he had sat on a bed together with a Sefer Torah. The Daimak Mishakishay Nachash, if you looked at his face, it looked like he was bitten by a snake. That's how terrible he felt about sitting on the bed. So Lechai, if this was his reaction, clearly he is of the opinion that this cannot be done. Therefore, said Rabbi Vachani, if somebody would want to quote this story and then tell you, you see that Belazar says you can't sit on a bed, you should know that the story is incorrect. Because there the case was not that he sat on a bed with the Sefer Torah on the bed, but rather Hasam Sefer Torah Gabi Karakahav. There the Sefer Torah was in a greater massive of design. The Sefer Torah was laying on the ground, and that is why the Belazar reacted in the manner that he did. But as far as the Sefer Torah being at the top of the bed, and for a person to sit on the bed, then it just may be that the Belazar is of the opinion this could be done. Taisa says over here that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, who says indeed one is permitted to sit on a bed with a Sefer Torah. And Taisa wants to bring a raya that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan when he's arguing with Rav Huna, and furthermore it's mashma from a Gemara in Ma'id Katan that the very Talmidim of Rav Huna disagreed with him. However, in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Reish, Pei, Beis, Sif, Zayin, the Psak is very clear. Aser, Leishiv, Ogabimita, it is prohibited to sit on a bed, Shasefer Torah, Munachalel. The Shach, quoting the Vesyaisif, says the only time it would be permitted to sit on a bed with a Sefer Torah is if the Sefer Torah by some way is 10 tfachim higher than the person sitting there. B'diyaved, a person can sit on the bed with the Sefer Torah 3 tfachim higher. The Shach, however, says that these shiurim of 10 tfachim and b'diyaved 3 are all midas chasidos. Somebody wants to be simach on the dry halacha, then, says the Shach, if the Sefer Torah is merely a tefach higher, it is all right to sit. Now, the demand that very same Sif says, that this halacha about not sitting on a bed with Sefer Torah is lav davka in regard to Sefer Torah, but the same would apply in regard to other Svarim. In regard to any Sefer Kodesh, one cannot sit together with the Svarim on a bed. And of course, this is lav davka, a bed. The same is true for a chair, a bench, or anything else. The Shach says that b'diavet, if there is simply no other choice, and it's a besmedrish, so we could be makel with regular svarim, and if there is simply no place to put the svarim, and there's no other etzah, then one could sit on a bench together with svarim. However, the Shach stresses emphatically that this is bedavki if there is simply no other etzah. If there is any other possible way out, one should not sit on a bench with svarim. One solution could be to make some kind of a hefsik, like spreading out some kind of a tablecloth or something under the svarim. Let us remember that this is strictly in regard to regular svarim. In regard to a Sefer Torah, there must be the at least tefach higher, and a midas chasidus would be anywhere between 3 tefachim to preferably at least 10 tefachim higher for somebody to sit next to a Sefer Torah. Somebody writes a mezuzah as though it would be a letter. No shirtut, he was not medagdik in the chaseiris and the yaseiris, the proper spelling as the messiah is. He just wrote it like a letter. Psula is possible. My time, what is the reason that it is possible? Asya ksiva ksiva mi sefer. We have a gzereshav ksiva ksiva mi sefer. Rashi explains we have in regard to mezuzahs. Uch saftem al mezuzahs. In regard to a get, we have the kasav la sefer kriser. So we have the term ksiva at both locations. Or, says Rashi, we have the yichsaftem al mezuzais. And we have the pasuk kasav zais zikarein basefer. Just like a sefer Torah has to have digduk and has to be done in a precise manner, the same is true for a mezuzah. Once again, Rashi learns that the letter over here, the mezuzah like a letter, which is possible, means without shirtut and without chaseiris and yaseiris. There are certain mesayers of how words are spelled, and this person wasn't medagdic in it. Taisus has some tainas in Rashi. First of all, Taisus says that shirtut, as we learned previously, is halacha l'mishum Sinai. We don't learn that from Exodus Shava. Therefore, Taisus disagrees on the shirtut part, and Taisus says writing a mezuzah like a letter means simply that he was not medagdic in the chaseiris, the yaseiris. But shirtut, that is a different kind of psul altogether, and that, according to Taisvis, has nothing to do with the psul of Geras. Now, let's remember as follows. Technically speaking, a mezuzah means a doorpost. In every doorpost, we have the two mezuzahs, and the board on top, that's called the maskot. The mezuzah is called the mezuzah because it's supposed to go on to the mezuzah. Now, suppose somebody takes a mezuzah, puts it on a stick, and puts the stick up against the doorpost. He does not bang the mezuzah directly into the doorpost. If somebody hangs a mezuzah on a stick, psula. My time, what is the reason that it's possible? So, it's like the mezuzah is more or less in the right location. And for the Gemara, bishadecha de'inam. The Torah says bishadecha. And that means in the doorway, in your gates. And if he doesn't bang the mezuzah into the very doorpost, but just hangs it up there with a stick, it's not bishadecha. Tanya Nami Yochi says the Gemara, we learned a beraisa to substantiate this. Tala b'makel, if somebody hangs up his mezuzah on a stick and puts the stick up at the doorpost, oisha henicha achar adelas, instead of banging the mezuzah into the doorpost, he bangs it into the wall that is after the doorpost. In other words, it's not in the doorway. Sakana, this is a great danger. The ein ba mitzvah, and he was not mekayim the mitzvah. The reason it is a danger, explains Rashi, is because a mezuzah offers protection. And without the mezuzah, if the mezuzah is not put up kehalacha, then there's no mezuzah there for all practical purposes, and the meila, the house, is in danger mitnei hamezikin. Now Taisus is a little bothered by this, because Taisus says, so the point is, according to Rashi, that if you don't have a mezuzah that is kehalacha, there's always a sakana. So why is the Gemara so specific about these two psulim, about tala b'makel or hanicha chayedelis? Rather, according to Rashi's pshat, says Taisus, the Gemara should have said, any mezuzah that is not kehalacha is a sakana. Therefore, Taisus disagrees with Rashi. Now, of course, Taisus agrees with Rashi that indeed it is a sakana to live without a mezuzah. But Taisus disagrees that that is pshat over here in the Gemara. Rather, Taisus says, tala b'makel or hanicha achar adelos is a sakana for practical reasons. When somebody walks into a doorway, he does not expect to find a stick with a mezuzah hanging from it. By that same token, no one expects to have a mezuzah just protruding out of a wall when there's no doorpost, so he can bump into it. And that's why this is a sakana. And now the Gemara tells us an interesting story. Shel beis Munbas HaMelech, the servants of Munbas HaMelech, who were always traveling about the Medina, taking care of Inyani Malchus. In the Kaseyan Cain, they would take along sticks with the mezuzahs hanging from it to put up at the doorway of their hotel rooms, their rooms at their respective inns, and they did so zeichel mezuzah. They were not mechuyev the mezuzah, sleeping over in these inns. The reason is because it is not a diras kfa. We will see later on, the other Shem of this mesachta, that you have to live 30 days in a certain place in order for it to constitute a kfiyas. These servants of Mundus HaMelech would spend their entire lives traveling about in service of the king, checking up on various in Yoni HaMalchus. So it turns out they would never, ever sleep in a room that has a chiyuv mezuzah. So just not to forget about a mezuzah altogether, to have some shaychus with the mitzvah, this is what they did. They took along the stick with the mezuzah hanging on it, they put it up for the night, and in the morning they took it off and moved on with it. The Sefana says, L'chaya, this would be a raya to Rashi's pshat. According to Taisus, that the sakana is, practically speaking, somebody may bump his head in it, why would the servants of Munbas HaMelech do this? Why would they constantly set up stumbling blocks for themselves? Unless we would say, says the Sefem, that being that they only put it up for one night, and by the morning it was always taken away, so perhaps there was no sakana. But according to Rashi, it is more mavuyer. Because according to Rashi, the sakana is not that they're going to bump into it. According to Rashi, the sakana is that there's no mezuzah. So here it's not shaykh because they had no chiyuv of mezuzah. Others are medayik that the lashon Gemara may be a little better according to Taisus. According to Taisus, we understand the lashon sakana. It is a sakana because they may bump into it. And in addition, the ein b'mitzvah, he is not mekayim b'mitzvah. But according to Rashi, what is the lashon of sakana the ein b'mitzvah? How can you say it's two separate things? The reason that it is a sakana is because there is no mitzvah. So the Lashon HaGemara should have been sakana mishum she'ein b'mitzvah. And there are various terutzim to forem for Rashi's pshat. In the previous Gemara, Rashi said that the psul of writing a mezuzah ka'ageres is if it is written without shirtut and if it is not written with the proper spelling. There are certain mesayris and the chaseiris and yoseiris, and if they aren't followed through with the mezuzah, then the mezuzah is possible. Now, Taisus, as we explained previously, disagrees with Rashi on the Shirtut aspect, because the Gemara learns this from a Zereshava. And Shirtut is possible, the lack of Shirtut, rather, is possible by a mezuzah because of an halacha l'mesha m'Sinai. Therefore, Taisus says, as explained previously, when the Gemara says over here that the mezuzah is possible, k'ageres, that has nothing to do with Shirtut, rather, it is the other thing that Rashi brings, it's when the mezuzah is not written with the proper chaseris v'yaseris. We learn that the mezuzah has to be written with the proper chaseris v'yaseris from a gzeir shava of ksiv ksiv. And as we mentioned, in Rashi, there are two possibilities of where that gzeir shava is leading us. By mezuzah, it's pashit, tzuchsaftem al mezuzah, that's the ksiva by the mezuzah. Rashi suggests in the first pshat that the other ksiva, the other end of the gzeir shava, is by a get, the kos of law, say for krisus. And there it has to be meduyik, it has to be written properly with special halachas, it has to be written like a sefer. So just like that has to be perfect, so does the mezuzah. Taisus is a little mephactic about this for several reasons. First of all, Taisus says there are many words in the text of the get that for some reason or another it is accepted that they are not spelled correctly. And Taisus points out several examples. Furthermore, Taisus says that the cause of law sefer krisus, that sefer doesn't mean the structure of a sefer. Sefer means sipur dvarim bialma. Write the words that describe the krisus. So how can you learn the structure of writing from this? In retrospect, however, Taisus turns around, and Taisus points out a Gemara in Gittin, the dashens of the kotzav lo sefer krisus. It has to be sefer echad, and it can't be several svarim put together. So you see the word sefer does indicate you have to have the structure of a sefer. So in the middle, perhaps you could learn the alachis of ksiv in regard to a mezuzah from the get. Now, it's interesting to note that the first Taisus in Gittin says, why does a get have 12 lines? Because there is a total of 12 empty lines separating the Chumashim and the Torah. Between Bereshit and Shemais, there are 4 empty lines. Between Shemais and Vayikra, there are 4 empty lines. Between Vayikra and Dan Midbar. Between the Midbar and Varim, it doesn't count because Varim is Mishnah Torah, so it's a whole different concept. But if you add up the 4 empty lines between the other 3 Chumashim, you have 12. And being that a get is a safer krisus, which is the power of separating, the power of dividing. Memela, we look to the Torah, to the empty parts of the Torah, because any koyach that we have comes from the Torah. And this structures our get of 12 lines. The Kehilas Yaakov from Beit Gazi points out that nowhere in Nach do you have a gimel and a tes together. And that is why the one word that separates more than anything else separates is the get. The gimel and the tes. It's the only time you have a gimel and a tes together in one word. So, Akubanim, we see over here several things. First of all, we see what Rashi means, that the structure of a get is the power of the ICIs that it has to remove a bondage, a koyach that the Torah gave via the text of the get, and therefore it is learned with the same guidelines as any other use of the ICIs are. And even though the ICIs and the mezuzah bring about just the opposite of a get, it's mi'ayir kedush, it's mi'ayir the bondage of a Jewish home, the point is, it all stems from the same koyach, the koyach that the Torah has, the koyach that the ICIs of the Torah have to evoke one or the other. Now, we also see over here the importance of the space in between. We just finished the whole parasha of Chus and Stuma, and how many sugyas and shitas there are on the Rishayim about how many space there can be between parashiyas. The space in between the parashiyas, the empty letters of the Torah, are just as important as the ICS themselves are. Improper space, too much or too little, can passel sifri Torah, tefillin, or mezuzah the same way improper ICS can. V'raya, you see how Taisus derives the whole makor of the text of the get from the space in the Torah, because this is the power of separation, which puts things in their proper place.